E-A-L.
Responsible eating, responsible eating, responsible eating and living.
Hello, it's time for the Ask a Vegan Show. It's April 22nd, 2012. Happy Earth Day. Happy birthday to me. It's my birthday. I always like to tie in Earth Day with my birthday because, well, it makes sense to me. I've always had a great passion for the earth, the environment, and, you know, whatever it takes to motivate you to do good things. I like to think I was born on Earth Day because I'm a messenger for the earth. It all started a long time ago. I used to do a lot of plays when I was in school. And in third grade, I played Mother Earth. And, you know, you gotta go with those things. Actually, I think we should all take our part to take care of Mother Earth and step as lightly as we can, nurture, put things in rather than taking. There's a lot of discussion about being vegan, going vegan in the media, and I'm really excited that this is happening because for so long, so many of us were just alone, and now there's so much conversation. Now, not all of that conversation is good. The first step is talking and communicating and sharing ideas. And I like to believe that the truth, the good, will prevail, whatever that may be. I know what my truth is. Do you know what your truth is? Last weekend, we were at the Take Back Your Health conference in Washington, D.C. It's a relatively new conference, and I think they started it last year. I love the name, Take Back Your Health, because I really believe we should all take responsibility for our own personal health. That's part of the problem with health these days. We, for the most part, have been lulled into believing that doctors are responsible for our health, that pills are responsible for our health. And it's so important for each of us to take responsibility. Certainly, we need the medical community. There are so many wonderful things that doctors and nurses and other health practitioners can do for us. There's no question about that. But the bulk of our health and well-being is really up to ourselves. So the Take Back Your Health conference is all about that. What was really interesting about it, though, was there seemed to be two very distinct communities in this alternative health space at this conference. So you had the vegan veg-friendly people, like Responsible Eating and Living, promoting a diet based on whole, fresh, primarily locally grown, organic plant foods, vegetables, fruits, beans, whole grains, raw nuts and seeds. And then there was this other community, the humane meat community, supported by the Weston Price Foundation. They were an exhibitor. And a number of farmers who were producing, I always put this in quotes, humane meat, chickens and pigs, cows. And there was some antagonistic energy. I could tell some of the people that came to our table that had a feeling that we were a plant-based foundation. And they were believers in meat eating, would come over and say, "So what do you do? What does your organization do?" And it was a little unfortunate that there was this preconceived opinion without even having a discussion. And so what we tried to do is talk to everyone in a loving, caring, non-judgmental way, sharing ideas. And whether you believe that meat eating is right or wrong, I think it's so important that all of us in the alternative health world align on common grounds, because there are some very big issues out there that need all of our attention. And it's not about whether it's right or wrong to eat meat, and it's not about whether we should or should not eat meat, although I have some very personal feelings about it. The big, big issues are factory farming, not right, needs to go away. Factory farming is devastating on the environment, and of all cruelty, it takes the cake. Horrifically cruel, horrifically filthy, horrifically unhealthy. Organic agriculture. This is another thing that everyone can come together on, whether you're a meat eater or a vegetarian, vegan. We need to stop putting harsh chemical toxins in our soil. We need all to align and say, yes, we need organic agriculture. Industrial agriculture, in what it is today, needs to go away. And we need to support and find ways to promote organic agriculture. And the best way we can do it as individuals is to purchase organic agriculture and work with our local farmers to get more organic food and make it less expensive. Another thing we can align on is genetically modified food. We don't need it, we don't want it, we shouldn't have it. And the legal system should not be supporting those who are growing genetically modified food and having the pollen from those plants contaminate native foods, the original foods, the foods that nature has created and perfected over millions of years. We can align on all of these issues. We don't have to argue, and we don't have to focus on the minutiae. Sure, if we want to, in small circles, in a loving, non-judgmental way, we can talk about whether it's right or wrong to eat meat. But I just don't like the distraction moving away from these big, important issues that need to go away now. New York Times. Very interesting. There is a Well column now by Tara Parker Pope. I like saying that, Tara Parker Pope. And she brings up the V word quite regularly in her blog, vegan. And just a few days ago, I think it was 5 days ago, there was a column called The Challenge of Going Vegan. And I'm going to talk quite a bit about the column and mostly the responses to that column today. And I'm going to do it primarily because when the column came out, I got a lot of emails with people saying, Karen, did you see this? Did you see this article? What do you think? And the response from many vegans was kind of disgust. The title, to begin with, The Challenge of Going Vegan. Okay, I am so glad that we're talking in mainstream media about vegan diets. This is a beautiful thing. But constantly, you never ever see an article that is rah-rah vegan. It's always, yeah, there might be some good reasons. It might improve your health. It might be good for the environment. It might be nice for the animals. But oh, it is so hard. And oh, you have to be so careful to make sure you get the nutrition you need. Oh, watch out. It is so challenging. And, you know, it's really exhausting to read these comments. And when you know what it's like to eat a vegan diet, when you know how healthy it is, you realize how ignorant these statements really are. And so we're going to talk about that for the next hour. How about it? There were over 1,000 responses, and I tried to wade through them and find some continuing themes, and I picked about 20 different items, and let's see if we can get to all of them today. Okay, so one of the items that was continually repeated in this blog post was the need for a chef. So the belief was that the vegan diet was pretty good, and it would is probably healthier. There were a lot of people that were echoing these thoughts, that it was probably better for the environment, probably healthier, but oh, it is so impossible to prepare the foods, make them interesting, make them tasty, and fit into your schedule. And, okay, we talk about this all the time on this show. People need to find their kitchens. They need to relearn how to prepare food. Somehow over the last half century, probably, we have learned to lose this skill of how to prepare food and how to eat. And so many people really feel lost in the kitchen, don't know how to make their food, and when we talk about changing a diet, it becomes very overwhelming. People don't know what's in their food, so they don't know how to make a change. And there were so many people responding to this statement of needing a chef, saying how easy it is because there's so much information on the internet, and in many ways, if you just take all the reasons to be vegan, or even not be vegan, but just eat more plant foods, if you just look at the information and say, it's better for my health, it's better for the planet, it's kinder for the animals, I need to make that change. If you constantly repeat those things in your head, you are going to shift. At some point, the flesh, the dairy, it's going to look ugly. It's not going to taste good. And the fruits and vegetables will look more appealing. There is re-scripting and re-recording of the voices in our head that needs to go on. And so I think articles like this really are good if people read them, because we need to overcome this programming that's been indoctrinated in us somehow through commercials and marketing and so many different cultural things needs to change. And no, you don't need a chef. There are many, many Ask a Vegan shows over the last few years where we've talked about all kinds of different ways to prepare food and make it simple, make it easy. And if you're really struggling and you've listened to many of my shows, and you still have problems, send me an email at info@realmeals.org. We can have an individual discussion, and I'm sure we can find a way to make it work for you. Now, there were a lot of people that responded, and they talked as if they knew about nutrition and what people need. One of the things I love about eating fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, raw nuts and seeds, organic, locally grown, plant foods, and not eating junk food and not eating a lot of processed food, breads and starchy foods, and primarily focusing on fruits and vegetables, you don't have to know anything about nutrition. Nature makes it easy. If you eat the healthy whole foods, minimally processed foods, you fill up naturally. When you're hungry, you eat more of these healthy foods, you don't gain weight, and you get the nutrition you need. You don't need to be a registered dietitian or a medical doctor. You just need to include this wide variety of healthy whole plant foods. So somebody said, you get all you need from meat, why squeeze it from plants? And it's clear to me that this person and many other people don't know anything about nutrition and think they do. What do we get from meat? Sure, we get protein, but it's not the best quality protein, and eating a lot of it actually creates an imbalance in our bodies. It creates a pH imbalance because animal protein tends to be far more acidic than most of the plant proteins, and the body grabs calcium from the blood and ultimately from the bones to balance that acidity. And meat does not have fiber. We need fiber. Fiber helps us feel full. Fiber helps us feel sated after eating. And fiber, like a toothbrush, scrubs our inner workings, our intestines, keeping things nice and clean and not letting things accumulate on the walls of our intestines and our arteries, and minimizes inflammation. You don't get that from meat. What you do get from meat is a lot of saturated fat that over a very long time can coat the arteries and constrict the blood vessels. Cholesterol, too, we get that from meat. Our bodies naturally manufacture cholesterol. We need it. We don't need to eat it. Our bodies make it. And we don't squeeze nutrition from plants. Plants are lovely. Eat an apple. There's great stuff in there. Hungry? Eat another apple. It's really very simple. Bananas? Eat them. Lettuce, eat them. Raw nuts and seeds, great stuff. It's not like you're squeezing anything. You're enjoying the food you're eating. You're not getting anything bad from any of these foods unless you have a particular allergy. It's simple. Okay, somebody gave a great tip. And that was, well, for this particular person, they decided to change their diet when they moved. And this helped incorporate a change. And I understand that. And I thought it was a very interesting tip. Not that you have to move, but making some big changes, like maybe cleaning out everything in your kitchen and reorganizing things, throwing out some ancient food that's been in the cupboard or the refrigerator for a long time, and really redecorating everything in the refrigerator and in the cupboards, getting a good shopping list recommended from one of these vegan cookbooks. There are so many of them, and so many of them have a great list of foods and new foods to try. And you can make that change once you've cleared out the old and refresh the new. I know for me, I became vegan in 1988, and it was plaguing me for a long time. I was reading in the few periodicals that were available focused on vegetarianism. I started reading about dairy and eggs, and at that time I was eating them, and I was learning two things. I was learning about the terrible cruelty of dairy cows and egg-laying hens, because it's so easy to think, oh, I can have milk and eggs because the animals that are used to get these products aren't killed. But yeah, they are. And they're treated horribly from birth till death, and there's a lot of cruelty involved. And when a dairy cow doesn't give the amount of milk that the farmer wants, she gets killed and put into hamburger. And her children, her calves, they are typically slaughtered at a very early age, just a few months to go for veal. There's a lot of killing involved. Same thing for egg-laying hens, for the most part. And I really struggled with this for a while. And then I was also learning how dairy was linked very strongly with cancer and other chronic diseases, allergies, all kinds of health-related problems. And so I kept thinking, I've got to give this up. But I was feeling that addiction. And it wasn't until I had a business trip to Israel, and I was going to be in Israel for 3 months, and I thought, this is when I'm going to make this change. And so when this person in the blog, in the Challenge of Going Vegan blog, said a tip was to move or maybe go on a vacation and make the dietary change, I agreed with that. Okay. Next one. Oh, this one drives me nutty, nutty, nutty. Okay. So there are some people that want to say that it is not environmentally sustainable to be vegan, that the vegan diet is not an environmentally sustainable diet because as vegans, we're always waving the this is an environmentally sustainable diet flag, right? And one of the points that these people will bring up is that the rainforests, which unfortunately we are losing at alarming rates, that many of the rainforests are destroyed in order to grow soybeans. And right away, people will say, see, it's not sustainable to be a vegan because all of your soy foods, all those soybeans are being grown in rainforests that are being destroyed. And look at that. And again, that's where the ignorance comes in, because rainforests that are being destroyed to grow soybeans, those soybeans are not for humans. Those are for animals that are being raised for human consumption. That's soybeans that are grown to feed animals for omnivores. So I still believe that the most environmentally sustainable diet is the vegan diet. Okay. Another favorite of mine that came up quite a lot in this article from people is that eating vegans, it's a myth. Myth, I'm underlining, this is a myth. Eating vegan requires some scientific thought about diet and food combinations, or there can be some adverse consequences. Wrong. Why aren't we all saying eating the standard American diet, the SAD diet, requires some scientific thought because there can be some adverse consequences? We're seeing over 600,000 people dying from heart disease every year, and it's unnecessary, preventable with a shift in diet and lifestyle. Same thing with diabetes and cancer. We've got epidemic health problems from the current diet people are on. And yet people turn the tables and say, no, 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 no. We need to have some serious thought and serious care when people are eating a vegan diet. Sure, eating Coke and French fries all the time is not a healthy diet. But most people that are on a vegan diet are thinking about healthy food. It's not just not eating meat. It's a whole ethical, moral, global, I'm looking for so many different adjectives here, but we eat vegan to nurture the earth, not to harm the earth. We eat vegan to nurture our bodies. And it's so much easier to not have to think about what we're eating when we're eating whole and minimally processed fruits and vegetables. There's not a lot of scientific thought that has to go on. Now, because we don't live in a natural environment, because our soil is depleted, because our agricultural fields have been so poorly taken care of, unless you're eating organically and from food that grows in an area that has been really taken care of and is imbalanced and is enriched naturally, the food that you're eating may not have the concentration of nutrients that nature originally intended. So you may need to concentrate on a certain few number of nutrients, but it's not rocket science. You may need to take a multivitamin with a little zinc in it and certainly get your vitamin D. The sun is best, but supplementing with vitamin D, especially in times when sun exposure is impossible. We're learning a number of things in science. We don't know everything. We know very little, actually. But all of the scientific thought about diet really needs to apply more to what most Americans are eating today, not what the vegans are eating. Okay, another favorite comment was that vegans are preachy. A lot of people had a lot of things to say about vegans being preachy, vegans being defensive. I think it goes both ways. I've been on this vegetarian path most of my life, and I remember as a teenager, when you didn't see articles like this in the New York Times or other mainstream media, and I wasn't being preachy at first. I just didn't want to eat animals. It just didn't settle with me. It just didn't seem right. And there were family members and friends around me when I was at the dinner table who would attack me and demand answers. And you want to just put up your hands and say, "What? Wait a minute, why are you attacking me?" And so I smile a little when I hear that vegans can be preachy, because meat eaters like to put us on the defensive. Because I think there's something deep within us that is uncomfortable with killing. And we're really good at convincing ourselves to do all kinds of horrible things. I don't want to get off the subject here. I think it's related, but I was just talking to Peter Seidel regarding his book, Invisible Walls, on my It's All About Food show on Wednesday. I learned so much from this book, and I can't say enough how everyone should read this book. Politicians need to read this book, high school students, college students, parents. It really talks about why we do what we do as human beings, what our limitations are, how we get caught up with following the masses, how we get caught up with fear, how we get overcome with power, and how it really takes some very courageous individuals to stand up and do a heroic thing, stand up for what's right, because most of us just go along with the crowd. And it's at a point where, you know, I don't like to share gloom and doom, but the planet is really in a difficult place right now, and if we care about humanity, if we care about humanity continuing, for those who have children, if you care about the planet you're going to leave for your children, things are going to get scary. They're already scary for many people in the United States as well as outside in terms of getting enough food, in terms of debilitating health crisis related to the toxicity in the environment. There's a lot of bad stuff going on, and it's not necessary. And everyone needs to stand up and say, no, we don't want these bad things happening to us. We don't want genetically modified food. We don't want toxic chemicals. We don't want corporations manufacturing things and putting them in cardboard boxes and feeding them to us. We don't want pharmaceuticals creating all kinds of drugs that doctors are going to push on us and insist that we take to heal all of our ills. We want to live healthy, quality, long lives filled with love and beauty. And it's going to take all of us to stand up courageously and insist on it. Otherwise, I don't even want to say what it's going to be. And so sure, some of us can get preachy because if we're quiet, well, no, nothing's going to happen. I don't have the answers. I just think we have to keep talking and we have to refuse things that aren't right. And not just go for what's least expensive or the best deal. Okay. Somebody wrote, wouldn't you feel defensive if someone wrote an inaccurate article about your lifestyle without knowing anything about it? I mean, the writer didn't even bother to interview any vegans. Correcting the misinformation and misunderstanding created by people who think like this author practically become a full-time job. Yeah, so there's so much misinformation out there. And it's really hard. This is a challenging thing. I really feel like I can help so many people, but people don't want to hear my preachiness. They don't want to hear my religious fervor and my passion. They want to roll their eyes. They do roll their eyes. And then I see them get sick and suffer, and it's heartbreaking. You can't control anyone else but yourself. And that's why somebody said here, which was a good line. Let's see if I can say it, find it. Let's see. Okay, I can't find it. I have so many things here that I wanted to talk about. But we need to be models. That's really the best that we can do. We need to walk the walk. And we need to radiate happiness, health, and wellness. I think that's really the best way to get the message across. Someone was talking about how veganism was an important aspect in her healing from stage 4 cancer. And I can certainly resonate with that statement because I'm absolutely convinced that my diet and my increasing the amount of green foods, which boosted my immune system, definitely helped in my personal healing from stage 3C cancer, which is pretty close to 4. She writes, it's not as challenging or as expensive as this article suggests. We don't need highly processed foods made to taste like meat. They aren't healthy either. Mother Nature proves it all. Vegetables, fruits, grains, nuts, and seeds. It's cheap and easy to make organic oatmeal and bananas. Steamed vegetables over rice with a drizzle of Bragg's amino acids. amazing salads with raw veggies, nuts, and seeds, or a delicious smoothie. It can be tough when we dine out, but this helps us be more conscious about where we eat. As for putting off family and friends, this is often because we get a little superior and sanctimonious about our vegan and vegetarian diets. Instead, preach a little less and just be a shining example of radiant health. I really like that one. Walk the walk and be a shining, radiant example. Okay, somebody else started talking about the cultural history of food and tradition and supporting the idea that we need to continue to eat certain foods like cheese for fondue because it's a tradition and it's a lovely culture to pass around the Parmesan or Reggiano around the table or a pot of fondue shared with friends or a good wedge of brie for guests. It's not just the flavor and texture we savor. It's often a part of our tradition or cultural identity. You can't hope to find a soy-based substitute for that. And again, I disagree. Number one, our culture, our traditions are not stagnant. They are dynamic and they continue to change. If you look at history, if you look at the foods we're eating, they continually change. Nothing is stuck in time. Sure, there are versions, there are variations of things that have moved through time to the present, but they're not exactly the same, and thus they keep changing. It's like language. Traditions are just like language, and there are no languages that are stuck in time. They continue to evolve, they continue to change. And sure, I love gathering with family and friends and repeating some recipes and dishes and traditions and storytelling. That's all beautiful. But when you acknowledge that there is something not quite right about a tradition, you can remove the elements that aren't good and enhance them. And then the tradition continues, the good parts about the tradition continue, and you leave the bad behind. And so, there are all different kinds of things that can replace some of the traditional foods that are out there. And I used to be a fan of meat analogs. I'm not really anymore because I'm into a more healthy diet and I don't like highly processed foods. But what I think is really going to become the new tradition are cheeses that are based on nuts and seeds. To start with, we know that raw nuts and seeds carry concentrated amounts of very healthy nutrients. And these are really concentrated healthy foods, so we don't need to eat a lot of them, but we do need to eat them. And there's a lot of studies that show that people that consume nuts in their diet have lower cholesterol, have less health problems, and their weight is better than those who don't consume nuts. The thing is, they're concentrated food, and it doesn't take a lot of nuts to help you feel full and sated. And coupled with all the other foods in the plant kingdom, raw nuts and seeds are really an excellent addition. There's nothing like a bowl of healthy, fresh, crunchy lettuce, greens, and sprinkled with some raw nuts and seeds. You don't need a lot of the raw nuts and seeds, just a little here and there to go with the salad. And it's a beautiful balance because that little bit of fat in the raw nuts and seeds helps those fat-soluble nutrients in the green leaves get into your body so that you can use that nutrition. So there now are people that are making at home, and there are some products getting into the stores that are an improvement, I would say, on some of these foods that this person mentioned in their response. So we can make different versions of Parmesan cheese, either in a sprinkle form or in a harder form that you can grate. And there are recipes for some of these things made from nuts and seeds and nutritional yeast. Some of them are more complicated than others. Some people make some mixtures with pine nuts and a variety of different seasonings, hydrate it all, mix it, make a sort of paste out of it, and then dehydrate it so that it becomes a block, so that it's grateable. There's lots of different things going on that are great. I personally like something really simple where I chop very finely walnuts and add nutritional yeast. I'm not a big fan of salt, but you could add a little salt to this mixture. And this makes a lovely Parmesan-like sprinkle that you can pass around the table. And you can change the mix by using different nuts and seeds in that mixture that you pass around the table. How lovely is that? The same thing with fondue. Okay, there are so many different plant-based fondues that can be made that I think are actually more interesting than a pot of melted cheese, a pot of melted animal milk cheese. Cashew cheese is so delicious, and you can make lots of creamy, flavorful fondues based on cashew milk, blended cashews, the same with almonds, the same with all the different nuts out there and seeds. So you could have a whole lineup buffet of different nut and seed based fondues to share with friends. And the tradition continues. And I think we're going to see some more nut and seed based creamy and hard cheeses similar to the animal milk based cheeses that are out there today. There are people that are working with probiotics and using them with nut and seed milks to make cheese and to get some of those stinky, moldy kind of flavors that you find in some of the hard animal milk cheeses. Okay, so we keep the good things from the tradition, we leave behind the not so good things, and it's all beautiful. Let's see, next topic. Let's see here. Of course, many people in this post talk about how they moved to a vegan diet and how great they feel and how they've lost weight easily. And what I like to say to people, especially the big naysayers that don't see any benefit to it, but they still want to put you on the defensive, they still want to fight about it, I say, just try it. Because that's really the best way to know if it's any good. So you can try it for 3 weeks just for fun. As a matter of fact, Compassion Over Killing, another nonprofit organization, is having Veg Week next week, and you can go to usvegweek.com and sign up for their Veg Pledge. It's next week, April 23rd to the 29th. And you can just be vegan for a week. Why not? See what it's like. It's not going to harm anything, and you may be very surprised with how you feel, because everybody I know says they feel better. But we've got this thing within us where we are afraid of change. We are afraid to do things differently. I'm not sure. Well, there are probably reasons for this. And actually, this book I was talking about before, Invisible Walls, explains some of what goes on in our limited brains and why we resist doing things that ultimately can benefit ourselves, our families, and the planet. It's interesting reading and it's interesting understanding. It makes me feel better understanding why we do some of the really horrible things that we do. You know, people talk again about how difficult it is to make vegan food. Somebody writes here, there is a big learning curve on how to create tasty vegan meals, but once you've got a few good ones, the animal-based foods start to taste greasy and heavy. And I can't agree more with that. They continue saying, there is a whole new world out there of great tasting and incredibly more healthy food out there, but Americans are too hard-headed, condescending, stupid, lazy, and propagandized by corporations in the food industry as well as our corporate-owned USDA and FDA. I've been doing this since last August. I just had my yearly physical at age 57, and my total cholesterol was 153. I expect it to be lower next time. Okay, these are not my words, but the person continues, so die, you retarded bozos. I've seen enough of your eye rolling to make me puke. It's an interesting post. But there is something to it where we can't control anyone else. And although we would, I think, you know, a lot of vegans are really kind, caring people. And all we want to do is help make people feel better. But we can't control anyone else. And so if you don't want to feel better, if you don't want to change, well, that choice is really up to you. I guess the other part that's related to that is, sure, if you don't want to change the way you feel and you don't want to try this other way, which we all feel will make you feel better and have better quality life and superior health, the unfortunate thing is that supporting the standard American diet of junk food, highly processed food, and meat and dairy and egg consumption and fish is that it's devastating to the environment, and that affects everyone. And so it's really hard to not be preachy because many of us care not only about everyone's personal health and well-being, but the health and well-being of this world. Home that we all share, planet Earth. Yes. Okay, let's see. Somebody talks about the light going on, and I always like those analogies, those metaphors, those epiphanies. This person writes, I was what I like to refer to as a, quote, happy omnivore, proud of eating, quote, everything but organ meats and exotic seafood for 45 years, and then the light went on. I caught a conscience, as a friend described, suddenly realizing exactly what I was contributing to, the factory farming industry, the commodifications of animals as food, though I had always been an animal lover, actually seeing where my meat came from, thank you, internet, helped me with this realization and changed my life completely. No more fast food restaurants, no more meat, and over the course of 2 years, no more animal products at all for years now, and I could not be happier. Goes on and on and on. It's a brand new world for vegans and growing all the time. No one should feel challenged anymore. You know, if you're moving to a plant-based diet and feeling challenged, feeling issues, this is a great article to read and see everybody's feedback. There's a lot of great tips. You may find that a lot of people have gone through what you have gone through and made it to the other side and are all the happier for it. But somebody also put something in here that I think is so important. And that is, quote, difficult, unquote, and, quote, hard, unquote, are relative words. most in the world do not have enough food. So to say only eating plant-based is difficult, I find tough to take. And this was such an important statement. So many of us have choices, and we get preachy, we get passionate talking about whether it's right to eat one food or another, and we have so much abundance of food all around us. Some of it's really healthy, some of it's really junky, but we're overwhelmed with food. And how fortunate so many of us are to have this abundance around us. And that's where some of my discomfort lies, because while most of the health problems today, surprisingly, are from the developed countries eating the wrong foods and eating too much food, there's also the other side of the coin, where many people live in poverty and don't even have enough food to eat. And it's just so surreal, so unfortunate that we have this imbalance where we have so many issues about food in abundance and whether it's the right food and the wrong food, and yet we have so many people that just don't have anything to eat at all. It's really a strange world we live in. And unfortunately, I believe that this abundance of food, especially meat and dairy and manufactured, highly processed food, does not help those who are hungry and those who go without. And I think that they're linked. And to some degree, all of the commodity foods and the processed foods and the foods that the fortunate people have access to contributes to some circuitous way the lack of food other people have. The interesting thing is you read about over time, especially those who want to promote the Green Revolution, where we started using more pesticides and herbicides, and yields went up in agriculture, and it was used as a way to promote industrial agriculture to feed more people, to eliminate hunger, to eliminate people not having enough access to food. And now we hear the same arguments with genetically modified food, that these high-tech methods are necessary in order to feed the world. And as you go through time, as you go through history, as you go through a change in food production, there has always been a significant number of people who have lived in poverty and have not had access to food. And we continue to learn, if we look at it, that it's not necessarily these high-tech foods that we need. Technology definitely can help, and knowledge can definitely help produce healthy food and produce more food and help people in need get access to food if we really focus on those things. But we don't need genetically modified food, and we don't need pesticides and herbicides to promote healthy food and to improve yields and to get access to food for people who don't have it. That requires a different focus. One of the things that I learned in this book that I just read this week, Invisible Walls, and did I tell you to read that book? Please read the book. It answers so many things. It's the issue of population, and I don't want to tell people not to have children, because that's such a natural thing, and children are so important in so many ways, and we need children not just to continue our own species, but we learn so much from children. And a childlike way really helps us get through some of the really serious, challenging things we go through in life as adults. Okay, but we've got too many people on the planet, and that's one of the big reasons we have so many challenges. So if we had some steps in place where people didn't have as many children and people had less, and we kind of started to curtail the growth of population. And maybe we could cause the population to wind down a little bit. Then we could work on feeding everyone, and everyone could have enough space on the earth. Everyone could have a lovely home. And we could have energy sources, solar and wind, where we could all live a somewhat luxurious life while being gentle on the planet. We could use technology to help us have more comfortable lives, but we could also sustain the earth. It just requires the right focus. It requires courage, it requires commitment, it requires intelligence, and I really believe we have that potential. Okay, let's see. So, we just have a few more minutes here, a couple of minutes, and I wanted to see, did I cover most of the points that I wanted to from this really, really fun article? Well, if I didn't, I'll bring some up later at another show. There's just so many posts on this article. I'm sure I'll come up with a few more to talk about later. So I did mention the Veg Pledge week that's coming up next week. Go to usvegweek.com for more information on taking the Veg Pledge. And it's a great thing to do in honor of Earth Day and my birthday. And if you're in the New York City area, I wanted to alert you, put on your calendar a month from now, May 27th, will be the annual Veggie Pride Parade. You can go to veggieprideparade.org. My nonprofit organization, Responsible Eating and Living, will be there. And you can meet us and say hi. Why not? Oh, yes, please. You're on the internet, just stroll over to facebook.com/responsibleeatingandliving and give us a like, okay? Well, thanks for joining me today on Ask a Vegan. I'm Karen Hartglass, and a very happy Earth Day. And that's all for now. Let's listen to the real jingle. Have a delicious week.
R-E-A-L.
Responsible eating, responsible eating, responsible eating and living.
R-E-A-L.
Real's good for the planet, the inhabitants who need sound advice on the right thing to do.
When it comes to good health,
we need facts that are true. To choose what to eat and save the planet too. That's responsible eating and living.
R-E-A-L.
You'll find the real tools for you.
Real.